quote number one, Charles Spurgeon, one of my heroes, he said this regarding prayer. My own soul's conviction is that prayer is the grandest power in the entire universe.
Well, welcome again to Live in the Light. We're so glad that you have joined us here again today, and you have joined us for a great day. With me in studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. And Robbie, Live in the Light is moving into a new series today, right?
The power of prayer, Craig. We say around here a lot, don't we? Without prayer, we're
dead.
We're dead, yeah. And the Bible helps us to understand, explains to us. Jesus himself says to us, I mean, apart from me, you can do nothing. The greatest understanding then of prayer, we always say this, and it'll end up being within the series, but a life that doesn't pray is a life that's essentially saying to God, I don't need you, God. Thanks, but no thanks, God. But a life that is filled with prayer understands at the most fundamental place of their lives, we need the Lord to see any aspect of his fruit and goodness to come through our lives. So prayer then becomes everything. That's what this series is designed to do, to literally help us understand and be convicted and motivated to say prayer is the greatest power in the universe. Help us, Lord.
All right. Well, excited and hope that you are also excited as we walk into this brand new series together. It's a good time to remind you folks, though, at home, if you'd like to get a copy of today's message, to download a free copy, or even to order the entire series, make sure you visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. You can also phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-LIGHT. All right, John chapter 15, verse 7 is where we're going to today. Open your Bibles and let's get going.
The power of prayer. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't excited just because of how much I believe in what we're about to do. You know, there's certain things that you just begin to lead a church down a path and you know this is God's will. This is one of them. I mean, I just know when we start focusing on prayer, God's like, oh man, you totally blew it. You missed it. I know God is saying in his word, it's exactly what I want my people to be about. And it could come down to, it's so important, it's the most important thing. We can decide at the end of this series. But right off the bat, I want to put some quotes up on the screen for you here to do two things as we enter into being challenged with prayer. Number one, to whet your appetites as to how powerful prayer is. And to number two, to get us all going in the right direction as what we are praying God will accomplish through prayer in our church. Quote number one, Charles Spurgeon, one of my heroes, he said this regarding prayer. My own soul's conviction is that prayer is the grandest power in the entire universe. That's a fairly a bold statement. That's fairly conclusive, according to Spurgeon, who lived this. And you hear a lot of Spurgeon during this message because the guy was just the real deal when it came to this. He believes that prayer is the grandest power in the entire universe. Do we? Here's the next quote that comes up here. Ian Bounds, a man who lived prayer. He says, the Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through people. He does not come on machinery, but on people. The Holy Spirit does not anoint plans, but people, people of prayer. If we want to see God do what only he can do, we must be men and women of prayer. Next quote, again, whetting your appetites. Oswald Chambers said, prayer, I love this so much. Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work, right? I mean, that has to change right now in all of our minds. Often we're like, hey, God, I pray right now so you may bless me that I may go on to do what you really want me to do. Time out. Step back and think about what the Bible is going to teach us during this series. Prayer is not preparing us for the... Prayer is... It is the greater work. When we pray, that's what allows the work to happen through us. We have to change our minds on that. That's so important, but not a lot of Christians think this way. I'm praying we think this way. Last quote, a paraphrase by Martin Luther says, prayer is the oxygen of the spiritual life. Without it, we die. It's the oxygen for the spiritual life. Without prayer, we die. So apparently some very, very fruitful saints carried a little bit of conviction regarding the power of prayer. And the overarching question for this whole series really starts simply is this: do we carry the same conviction? Now, I would say there are very few people in this room right now who would deny that prayer is important. But the real question becomes this: how many of us are categorically convinced that prayer is the greatest power? I mean, just ask yourself that question. How many of us, I know prayer is important, but are we categorically convinced that prayer holds the greatest power in our approach to God? And I suggest to you, not all of us are there. I know my own heart. And so we need to be called to that place where we are convinced in our mind and have affections in our heart to believe what God is saying, that prayer is the greatest power. So that's why we're taking a month. We could take a year, but we're taking a month to renew our minds as to the power of prayer. Why? Why? Because I need this series. I can't wait. I love what God's doing already in my heart through this series. Listen, you need this series. Our church needs this series to hear God's voice reminding us again how powerful prayer is. Because listen, without prayer, I want you to be convinced of this, without prayer, we're dead. We're dead without prayer. The larger our church becomes, the more important prayer becomes. You know, the temptation will be the opposite. As we go along, the temptation is to look at the programs, to look at the lights, to look at the good things all around us, but that can never replace the importance of prayer within this church. The larger we become, the more prayer must be found. Otherwise, we'll be emptied of any power. As the enemy and his opposition comes against us more and more, the more vital prayer becomes. As we long for loved ones to continue to be saved, prayer is everything. As we want to know the presence of God, prayer must be at the forefront. As we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, prayer is everything. As we want to get rid of sin, as we want true repentance, it's prayer that kicks this in. Loved ones, we can have great programs, we can have passionate preaching, we can teach theology, we can feed the poor, we can plant churches, but if we don't have a church that believes in prayer, we become a shiny vehicle without an engine. And you can walk up to this vehicle and you're like, oh, look, it's really pretty. It looks really nice. And it's got these cool gadgets. But you pop the hood and you find out there is nothing to make it run. We can never become that church. Because the moment we become that church, we become nothing good of use for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so straight up, right from the start, I want you to know this. As your pastor here at this church, I need to grow in prayer. I need to be transformed, and I want to be transformed by prayer. And you know what's happening already? God is renewing my mind again and calling me back this week. Man, it's been I always tell you, right, but I got to go through this for days before I get to this point right here. And these days, God is like ripping out sin and causing me to fall to my knees and understanding. I mean, it's so painful, but it's beautiful. And I'm at the place right now where I'm believing as much as ever as to what God will do through people who take him seriously when it comes to prayer. I want that for me. Listen, I want that for you. So what do we do right now? Yeah, we have to pray. Because there's no point in keeping talking if we're not walking in this sense with prayer. Listen, I'm about to pray, but I want all of you, if you're there, if you're already kind of your heart's been pricked in a good way, I want you to join me. I want you to agree. I want you to say, yes, Lord, this is right. This is your will, and your will be done. Hey, let's do that right now. Father, I love that this moment right now is not wasted. I speak, and the God of the universe hears. Lord, I believe in what we're about to do. I am absolutely convinced that this could be the most important series this church has ever done because of the spiritual power it brings against the forces of darkness and for the glory of God and for the opportunity for lives to be changed. Father, I believe with all my heart if this church took up the mantle of actually being men and women who pray, and not just little prayers and not just a little bit here and there, but we actually began to live lives of unceasing prayer, I believe this town would be changed. I believe hundreds and hundreds of people and their lives would be transformed. Lord, thousands of lives would be transformed if we call upon you the way that you ask us to. I believe, Lord, in the promise today, if we ask, whatever we wish shall be done for us as we abide in you and your words abide in us. So God, I pray right now, this is not wasted. This is so key. This is massive for our our church. Satan is terrified at the results of this series. And so we stand frail. We stand unable. We stand so weak, but we stand in Jesus Christ. And we stand right now and we say, God, we can't do it, but in you, we beg that you will empower us to see more and more, more humility, more dependence, more love, more prayer to our awesome God at this time. Please, oh God, would you convince every man right now? Would you convince every woman right now that this is not a game? This is an opportunity for life to be seen in a way that we've never known before. You are challenging me on this truth, God. You are saying, Robbie, do you really believe what you are saying? Do you really believe, Robbie, what you are reading? And Lord, I want to believe. I do believe, and I want to believe more. This is an awesome time. Please, God, days will be hard, weakness will set in, strength will fail. But our God will not be thwarted in his plans. And he stands with us, and nothing will separate us from his love. So you do now, Lord, you do. I call upon you in faith as you ask me to, as you ask us to, that we would be a church on fire for the Lord. Not about flashy programs, about intimacy and dependence and humility before our God. This I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me hear it from you. Amen. 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 And that amen sends reverberations right through the spiritual world. It's not wasted. It's not wasted. Help us, Lord. All right, you guys ready? I'm ready. I'm ready, man. John 15, verse 7. Get your Bibles open to John 15, verse 7. One verse today. You think you can get a verse or a sermon from one verse? I'm praying so, all right? I'm praying so this week. And this is one powerful verse. We'll look at it a little bit before and after. But this one verse really says it all for this first message in this series. John 15, verse 7. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Ask whatever you wish, Jesus says, and it will be done for. Not by you. It will be done for you. The thesis of this first message, really the point of this entire series as we begin, is found in, this is called the big idea of the sermon. This is the one point I want us to see. I've written it down. I put it on the screen for you today. It's this. Let's get that sentence up in the screen there. Here's what I want us to see for this day. Before I will bear the fruit of powerful prayer, before I will see power come through my life in prayer, I must first go to the starting point. I must first get to the foundation. I must first, categorically is a key word, I must be fundamentally and absolutely convinced that I know what the source of powerful prayer is, right? You can't make that car run without the fuel, without the engine. The source is our fuel. I can't pray powerful prayers if I neglect the source of the powerful prayer. That's the point of John 15, verse 7. That is point number one now. Point number one, the starting point for powerful prayer. Ready? God's Son. The starting point for powerful prayer is the Son of God. Again, look at verse 7. Listen to verse 7. Listen. Jesus says to you today, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then ask. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. When it comes to prayer, too often we start with technique. How should I pray? When should I pray? Where should I pray? Those are great questions. We're going to answer those in this series as the weeks go on. I'm not diminishing the importance of those questions at prayer, because the Bible answers those questions too. But those questions can never come before or replace the most important question, which is, where is, who is the source of powerful prayer? So verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me. Loved ones, that phrase right there is a condition. Jesus places a condition right from the start of verse 7. The word if changes everything. If You abide. That one tiny word, Jesus sets the condition if we want to truly see powerful prayer within our lives. If, condition, if you abide. The condition for powerful prayer within our lives to bear fruit for Jesus Christ is whether or not we abide in Him. The longer I sat on that word this week, the more powerful it became. The verb abide, if you abide, if you abide, Robbie. If you abide, because if you don't abide, nothing's happening. There's no fruit, there's no prayer, there's no power. So then abiding becomes everything that we need to see Jesus' power through our lives. What does abide mean? If you remain in me. Loved ones, Jesus is saying, if you stay in me, if you draw life from me, my child, Jesus is saying, then you will draw power from me. If you abide in me, that's where the power is found. And as you abide, the power is released in your life from the vine into the branch. And that's where the fruit then is seen. That's our context for John 15. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. So stop and think about that imagery, the metaphor, the example Jesus is giving. He's a vine. His children are branches. Think of how a vine and a branch interact with one another. Power for life, the source of life for the branch is 100% reliant upon the vine. 100% reliant. A branch on its own has 0% chance of fruitfulness, of growth, or power. 0%. A branch on its own can do nothing on its own. So please see what Jesus is saying here. The branch does not break off and then go bear fruit by itself. The branch does not live outside of the vine. The branch entirely exists and lives in and by the vine. There is no branch doing something on their own. The only way to bear fruit, the only way to know power, the only way to see God do what God will do is to be attached to the vine, who is Jesus Christ. The amazing part of this is that the branch simply abides and the power of the vine flows through the branch. What Jesus is saying here is we don't generate power in our lives. We abide in Jesus Christ, and then His power flows through us. We're not called to exert energy for Jesus Christ. Our job is to abide in Jesus Christ. That's why the starting point of powerful prayer is found in God's Son. See, when you abide in Him, you are never bored. When you abide in Him, you never cease to pray. When you abide in Him, you never lose faith. When you abide in Jesus Christ, you are attaching yourself. You are placing your plug in the outlet of the source of eternal life. That is the key. That is foundation. That is the source to seeing God's power move through your life and mine and through this church. Too many people think it's their activity that produces fruit. No. It's our relationship. It's our relationship of abiding in Christ that produces real fruit. This is why Spurgeon says abiding is to live in Christ, by Christ, for Christ, to Christ. If you abide in me. We've all seen dead branches on the ground, haven't we? And dead branches are dead. They're not bearing any fruit. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. But a branch that's attached to the tree or attached to the vine, that is a branch that will see fruit only because they are attached to the vine. I want you to see this within this text too. There's so much here. It's so amazing, God's word. But how closely connected abiding and prayer actually are. I mean, prayer is abiding. And abiding is prayer. It's like as you abide in Christ, you pray. And as you pray, you're abiding. And so the power that comes from prayer and seeking and abiding, it's really the key to fruitfulness. Why did Jesus spend nights in prayer to His Father? In a sense, He's abiding in His Father to hear His Father's voice, to be led as His Father wants. And He was God. That's awesome. And time after time, He went by Himself off to pray. He spent all night praying. abiding, seeking, listening, being led by. Why did the early church lean so heavily on prayer? Because that was their power source. They abided in prayer to find the power to move on. Acts 4, verse 31 on the screen for us here. Acts 4, 31. Check out this verse right here. And when they had prayed, So this is the key word right there. And when they had prayed, the place, notice what happens, as they abide in prayer, as they seek the Lord in prayer, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They pray, and the place, that was pretty cool, huh? I mean, that'd be fun to be there, right? And it was shaking, God was at work, and they were filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Prayer leads to shaking, leads to Holy Spirit, leads to now speaking. Speaking what? The Word of God. See, there's always abiding prayer and the Word of God are not separate. We'll find that out in a few minutes. They're always together because abiding in prayer is in the Word of God, and the Word of God abiding leads to prayer. It's all connected. But notice, and when they had prayed, God moved in power. They were filled. They spoke, and then boldness was the end result as the gospel went forward. The key here of abiding for the early church is powerful prayer. Why did Paul say, praying in the Spirit at all times? Because abiding leads to power, and praying is power and abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this has to be our conviction. This can't just be in the book of Acts. This has to be now. You know, a couple of weeks ago at Party of the Pastors, a nice lady, she asked a question, and she said, I just want to know, what's the church's plan over the next 5 years? And I answered the question. I said, honestly, I don't know, you know. And what we mean by that as elders is really our plan, really, if you really force us to say something, our plan is to abide. Now, I'm sorry to disappoint you. If you're here today and you want a 5-year, 10-year, 20-year plan, we simply don't have that, man. We don't got that. Our plan right now is to pray. Our plan is to worship Jesus Christ. Our plan is to love God's word. Our plan is to share our faith and reach the lost. Our plan is to feed the poor. Our plan, Lord willing, is to plant churches. But when it really comes down to it, you know what the plan is? Prayer is the plan. I mean, prayer is the plan. Because if you move beyond, you know the meetings you walk into that are these spiritual meetings, and you walk in, some token prayers lifted up for about 30 seconds, and you move on to the business of the day? You got that backwards, man. You got that backwards. Front loaded with prayer. God, we can't do this. God, we don't know. God, we need you. God, help us. And then maybe 30 seconds of business. If that's the way, if you're going to be one or the other, I choose prayer. Because that's what God uses. But see, we get it all mixed up. Because we think as long as I'm doing, then I'm doing something right, as opposed to abiding or being. And I know how hard that, trust me, I know how hard that is, but I'm reading God's word right now. And I'm, if you abide in me. That's the condition. If you abide in me. You know, the context of our chapter here too, in verse 5, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Last time I checked, nothing means nothing. Yes. So apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. So a branch severed from the vine has no possibility of fruit. Let's get that. If we're not abiding in Christ, it's over. But a branch that is attached to the vine, listen, has the possibility of impossibility. You hear what I'm saying? The branch attached to the vine of Jesus Christ, you are attaching yourself to the God of the impossible. So you now have the possibility of impossibility upon your life because you are attached to the one who can do all things. That is awesome. That's what we are being challenged to believe right now. So much more in what we've seen. So much more maybe than even we've believed in the past. How much God will do through people who truly seek to abide in him. Notice insight here as well. God's design for his church. Jesus is the vine. His children are the branches. The fruit can only come through the branches. The fruit isn't in the vine itself. It's in the branches. So in God's design, he doesn't need us, but God chooses to use us in his design that the fruit must come through the church. The fruit must come through his children. God has made it such. He's sovereign. He's in control. But he has chosen to allow all the fruit of his son must come through the children in his church. So that's amazing. So then the opportunity is we are the ones being called to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ because we are the branches that are attached to the vine. But then the real question remains, how much do I want fruit to come through my life? Because if I want the fruit, I will choose then to abide. And those who don't abide have no fruit. But those who do abide, then tons of fruit come from the one who takes Jesus Christ at his word. Awesome, awesome, deep, deep, rich text. What Jesus is saying here. There is no fruit apart from Jesus Christ, yet the abundance of fruit that can come in him as we choose to abide in this way. See now, look at what Jesus is saying here. Prayer now, prayer is abiding. Prayer then is the fruit of abiding. It's all tied in one and the same. Prayer now becomes everything. Success in this series, we'll see prayer is not a chore. It's not a chore. Prayer is life. Prayer is praise. Prayer is worship. Like you're singing today, man, you're praying worship. You know, like when I walk around my house and I use the worship songs of prayer and tears fill my eyes and my kids are like, there goes dad again, dancing daddy over in the corner. You know what I'm saying? But there I am because it's how God uses to pray and to, it's not just, here's my list, God, pump a punch vending machine. What do you got for me? That's not prayer. There's so much more than that. Prayer is a life lived of praise to God. And if we're not praying in this way, we're dying. He's calling us for this. See, this is why then Spurgeon says this then, power in prayer, let's get that, power in prayer is the gauge, it's very much the gauge. This is a hard little sentence to read right here. Because of vine branches abiding in me, the condition there, power in prayer then is very much the gauge of our spiritual condition. How are we doing? See, and you can't get around this. You can't be like, well, someone else is gifted to pray. I'm not really gifted to pray. No. If you're attached to the vine, you pray. See, the fruit that comes from Christ is prayer in so many various forms. It's impossible theologically to be abiding and not praying. That's what Jesus is saying. So if we're attached as a church and we have men and women hungering for the Lord and we're abiding in Christ, we will see power. We will see prayer. It's what God does. You can't stop a healthy apple tree from growing apples. You can't stop a healthy Christian from seeing power and prayer in their life. Some of you say, well, what does abiding look like exactly? How do I abide? I would say it this way. Abiding is anything that enhances your life with Christ. It's anything that enhances your intimacy, your walk with Jesus Christ. It's not only sitting down for devotional time. That's massively important in my life. But here's helpful. In the negative, sin is anti-abiding. I mean, habits of sin is anti-abiding. It's ruining our walk with Jesus Christ. Right now, you are choosing whether you are to be here. This is an opportunity of abiding. Singing worship is opportunity for abiding. It's found in prayer. Fellowship with one another in worship and prayer and loving each other is a process of abiding in Christ. Sitting down with word open and looking at your God and loving him in prayer as the truth flows over you. It's all abiding. And the more we abide, if you abide in me, then we will see power of God's Son come through our lives.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. And that's all for today. Join us tomorrow at Live in the Light.